Excerpt from the String Quartet, number one by Michael Edward Edgerton.
And how many of the techniques did you have to teach the players, or how were they familiar with everything? Obviously not if they weren't able to play them all.
No, they were pretty resistant, actually, which was surprising because they have made the reputation playing contemporary music. But it was a very frustrating experience, to be quite honest. And, well, you know, that's what happens sometimes. obviously a lot of these techniques they had used, but basically in non-scalable ways. And so they were kind of resistant to really going through the process and wanting things to be notated in certain ways or refusing to do certain things, which is normal. But,
it's interesting because we've been sort of following the course of contemporary music performance, and noticed that the kind of millennials, the generation in their 20s now, are kind of fearless, and the music of the 60s and 70s that nobody could play, they can play in their sleep. And do you think this kind of thing is going to happen with your stuff? That 25 to 30 years from now, those performers are going to say, "Man, we can just knock this one out of the park."
Well, you know, I'm not a scientist, I'm not Mr. Spock, but it does seem pretty logical. I mean, because where else are we going to go with this stuff? I mean, at the largest level, my research is looking at each instrument. And looking at the different elements involved in producing sound and all the scalable degrees. So it seems to me that acoustically, in terms of voices and instruments, if people are interested in sonic combinations, before I mention that I'm looking at perception as well. And this is kind of similar to what the Spectral School was doing, but in a radically different way. And so the idea is to merge all of these different acoustical states with with the percept of these so-called extra complex musical sonorities, because that's not been documented yet. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that there will be frameworks that will be publicized more and more and more in the coming years that talk about the percepts of these different, each different scale degree of each different element that's desynchronized from normal. And then, of course, the combinations of two or more elements produced simultaneously. And what's the result of those? And so that's information that all performers and composers can use. So I think that this will carry. I think that people will be doing this stuff in the future.
I love this kind of shop talk because, you know, many of our listeners are lay listeners, and they get the impression that as composers we kind of sit down and have an idea and just sort of go with it, a little of this and a little of that, you know. We're influenced here, we're influenced there, and we put it in a big blender and something comes out. And there's a, you know, the aspect of integrity of thought as well as the integrity of composition doesn't always get top billing in sort of the listener realm. And that, I think that's a very valuable way of hearing from you.
Thank you. You know, it's the approach that, am I going to ignore history? Am I going to ignore what goes around me in the world? And that's the great thing about the internet. Geez, you know, I mean, coming back to 1979 and 1980, when I was looking through the library and I could find, like, Poulenc, right? Like, I was looking for contemporary music and I'm like, well, what the fuck? You know, oh, sorry.
No, that's fine.
I mean, what?
We're online. We're not on the air. We're in good shape.
Oh, okay. you know, I mean, what the, I mean, where's the contemporary Poulenc? I mean, you got to be kidding me. So when I look at things like Last.fm and MySpace and stuff like that, I mean, geez, you know, the enormous wealth that young listeners have these days is just amazing. If people want to get a handle on contemporary history, I mean, this is like an amazing time period to be alive. But then, you know, it asks the person to like pay attention and to like think about it a little bit, because not everything is the same in terms of art. I'm not saying that one thing is that there should be one thing that's like in the forefront and that people should be doing something. Or they should be doing this or not that or blah, 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 blah. But I think that it's not a bad thing to think about these things and think about our place. Because for me, art and society and politics and all these things, they're not separate from each other. Let's hope that Obama's call for a national service for the arts can also be a bit progressive if that actually does happen.
We'll see.
I know, I'm skeptical too.
Always hope.
Yeah.
We have to do a whole separate show on music and politics at some point. We're going to go out with going back in time to Regret of a Noiseless Sundering, which is the sax piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before that, where are you headed from here?
And what are you doing, by the way, in Finland? What got you there?
Well, my grandparents were from Finland. And so this is kind of like, you know, Europeans make fun of us guys all the time, right? Oh, you Americans, you're always trying to recover your heritage. Oh, my goodness. I get made fun of all the time, but it's because my grandparents were Finnish. And so I'm not coming here to reclaim my roots, but just to kind of hang out for a while. And on Monday, we're having a concert. I've been kind of working with local people in the small town of Alajärvi. And we're doing experimental voice stuff at the museum, at the Nelly Marka Museum, which is the museum of a famous Finnish painter whose name is Eero Nelly Marka. And he was spending his summers, I guess, in this area. And they have a museum right next door devoted to his work. And so we're doing a concert there Monday.
Of Sibelius?
Wow! No. I've actually composed two pieces for this, and we're doing strange things like I asked them for a folk tune. Okay, what's a tune that you guys know really well? And so they came up with a folk tune, and I said, okay, so split into three groups. And so got into three groups, and then I said, sing the first verse normal. So they sang the first verse normal, and then for the next three verses, what they do is one group stays the same, one group goes really slow, and one group goes faster, right? So 60 is normal, then maybe 40 is the slower group, and then 70 beats per minute is like the fastest group. And what happens is you have this folk tune that is like kind of like really split apart. It's like, well, it's not so experimental, but still it's a nice effect. And
Oh,
then
you great effect, yes.
and then later we're doing the thing like they do the same tune, but after the first verse is normal, then the second verse they transpose up a whole step, so they're singing bitonally, so in C and in D, you know. So it's but we're also doing more experimental stuff as well. But it's a nice effect, you know. So
And they have no preconceptions, so they have no problem with that.
oh, they have. Well, no, they don't have a problem with it. They're awfully curious, and contemporary art just doesn't mean much here. So.
And and they're putting up with the American. The
That's
real American is here.
right. Get out of here, you crazy
Get
guy.
out. Go home. All right, well, let's hear the give us a quick intro to this next piece, and then we'll get out of here.
Okay, yeah, so this was something that I wrote, geez, my last piece as a doctoral student, by the way, and it wasn't performed until a couple of years ago by the Stockholm Sax Quartet with Jörgen Pettersson, who played in Marriage of Shadows, who you heard earlier, and he is like, along with Stefan, two of the most amazing musicians in all of Europe, really. I mean, this guy seriously read some of the most god-awful, wicked stuff and played it, I mean, like it was nothing, you know. So yeah, so Jörgen is the leader of the Stockholm Sax Quartet, I hope. So yeah. And it's based on by James Joyce. I'm completely blanking out here right now, but it's a phrase out of Portrait of the Young Man as an Artist, or whatever the heck the name is.
Portrait of the Artist as a Young
There
Man,
you go.
which is a fantastic piece. I'm glad to hear that it's sort of background for this.
Okay, thanks.
Michael Edward Edgerton, it's been a great pleasure, worth the 10-year wait. And we'll
Thanks.
get together again before 10 years, and we'll talk about music and politics.
Are you saying tenure as in
Oh,
academic?
tenure,
Yes.
yes. Tenure, he's getting tenure in Finland.
Oh. No!
He's going to have to stay there with the up north of the Arctic Circle. They're sending him there.
Oh, man. Well, I was just there this last weekend. Oh, God.
Here it is by Michael Edward Edgerton. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
This is Regret of a Noiseless Sundering.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.